And the scripture reads as follows. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God shows his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Good morning. I first want to thank Jeff for inviting me to share this morning's lesson. And generally when I speak somewhere for the first time, I like to speak on the subject of love. I think that's a good place to start. I do appreciate the song selections, and I appreciate the narrative on this topic. And so what I'm going to invite you to do now is two things. I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. And I'm also going to ask you to get something to write with and something to write on, because I do want to share some scriptures with you today, and I'd like for you to be able to study later. Generally, when I teach publicly, I use the King James translation. When I study in private, I use many translations. And so I'd like for you to be able to reference these scriptures. And so when you get home, that you might be able to reference them and study from your preferred translation. And while you all are doing that, I'm going to step down here and get the clicker. Now, I know when the younger ones were dismissed, some of you saw me get up. I wasn't trying to sneak out. I had a question, in fact, about the clicker. Do I need to click this on, or do you do it from back there? Thank you. So that's what I was doing. I was trying to get this in order. I wasn't trying to run away. Well, I need you all to understand something, particularly for our visiting friends. We are quite glad that you decided to spend this morning of worship with us. There's many other things that you could have done. But we want you to understand that everything we do should be based on a solid foundation of Scripture. You know, the Bible is not a man-made literary work that's to be used casually. It's not a secondary document that's to be used on a cursory level. As a matter of fact, the Bible is not even a primary resource. The Bible is the source. And I'd like to tell you why I believe this to be true. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible has some more to say about this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So what do we need to study to show ourselves approved? We need to study God's word. And we need to rightly discern God's word. And we need to be able to make the proper application in our lives, that God will be pleased with us. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart." And so the word of God has the ability to discern. And when you hear God's word, you ought to be convicted one way or the other. While you ought to be pricked in your heart like they were in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost and realize that you need to make a change. Or you need to be edified. Your spirit ought to be quickened to confirm that what you're doing is right and that you're on the correct path to doing what God would have you to do to please him. And finally, in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, King James Version says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." And I like this passage so much that I also looked at the easy to read version. And the Bible says, "In the same way, my word leaves my mouth, and they don't come back without results. My words make the things happen that I want to happen. They succeed in doing what I send them to do." And so the purpose of God's word is to bear fruit for his cause. It's not something that we use casually or as an afterthought. We very much need to be in tune into scriptural authority for everything that we say and do. And my evidence is the scripture, the very word of God itself. In a little while, what we're going to do is we're going to extend an invitation. And we're going to ask you to hear God's word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess, and we're going to ask you to be baptized. And then go on to live a life faithful in service to God. And again, this is not something to be taken lightly because we have scriptural authority for what we say, for what we do, and for what we teach. And we hope that what we say today will inform you properly according to God's word. And so when we do extend the invitation, that you can make an informed choice concerning your salvation. Love. And I'd like to read this for emphasis from the King James translation. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. How much do we know about love? You know, it's a word that we use, and sometimes we use it loosely. Sometimes, in fact, we even abuse the word. How much do we really know about love? And you know, as I stand before you with this subject, I can honestly say that I don't know everything that there is to know about love. If I were to use every resource at my disposal, I still wouldn't know everything that there is to know about love. If I were to look at every dictionary book, every concordance, every biblical commentary, if I had a recording of every sermon that was ever preached on the subject love, I still wouldn't know everything that there is to know. There's more to be taught, and there's more to be learned on this subject, love. However, there are a few things that I do know about this subject. You know, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says that God is love. And I appreciate if you'd write that down. John chapter 3 and verse 16, we know the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says that we are to love one another. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, and also Matthew chapter 19 and verse 19. The Bible says that we ought to love our neighbor. And even in Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45, the Bible says that we should love our enemy. And so there are some things that we need to consider about love. I would like for us to consider how to love, who to love, and the Bible will help us understand what love is by defining what love is not. And if time allows, we will also talk about some manifestations of love according to the scripture. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, the Bible says that we ought to love God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. You know, if we put that much effort into loving God and loving one another, you know, we wouldn't have a lot of room for hate. If we put that much emphasis on love, and some say that hate is the opposite of love, but I beg to differ with you. Indifference is the opposite of love. Because with hate, at least there's some emotion there. But with indifference, you don't even care. But nevertheless, if we love with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, I believe that we would be on the right path to exhibiting the kind of love that God would have us to exhibit. You know, the Bible also tells us who to love. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 19, and please write this down so you can study it at your own will and time. The Bible says, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And you know, it's an interesting paradox, because the Bible says that you ought to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Does that not imply that before you can love somebody else, that you must first love yourself? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. We also ought to love our brother. The Bible says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Now, I'm not calling anybody a liar. I'm just telling you what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. The Bible says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar.
For he that loveth not his brother who he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And not only should we love ourselves, not only should we love our neighbors, not only do we have an obligation to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, but the Bible says that we even ought to love our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, the Bible says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good unto them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." You know, that's a difficult thing. You know, that contradicts our very nature, where we believe an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and where we want to get revenge. But the scripture says that we have to love our enemies. You know, it's easy to love somebody that loves you back. It's easy to just keep on giving and to keep on showing love when that's reciprocated. But it's a challenge when we have to love somebody that despises us. It's a challenge when we have to love somebody that mistreats us. It's a challenge when we have somebody that will lie on us and will cheat us and will deceive us and will do business with us dishonestly. It's hard to love somebody who have disingenuine motives. It's hard to love somebody that is not that you make them your enemy, but because you're doing the right thing, you become their enemy. Was it not the Apostle Paul that said, "If I'm your enemy, it's because I dare to tell you the truth"? And so it's a hard thing when we have to love somebody that don't love us. It's a hard thing when we try to love somebody that don't receive what we're trying to offer. But according to the scripture, that's what we need to do. You know, let's talk about what love is, because I think there's some misunderstandings about this word. In worldly terms, it's being misused. And you know, sometimes when I want to understand what something is, it helps me if I can define what it is not. You know, if we want to comprehend what love is, if we want to gain a more clear understanding of what love is, let us first identify what love is not. I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Bible has something to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Starting at verse 4, continuing through verse 8. The Bible says charity. First of all, charity is just a three-syllable word for love. And so some of your translations may say love. King James says charity, but it's talking about love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4, moving forward, the Bible says that charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. In verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. In verse 8, charity never faileth. And so love is not a losing proposition. The Bible says that charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And so the Bible does an excellent job in defining what love is not. And so we talked about how to love, who to love. The Bible has just defined what love is not. And so the question begs, what is love? Well, I studied at CSU, Common Sense University. And common sense tells me that love is the opposite of what it is not. Does that make sense? And so if love is not afraid, because the Bible says that there's no fear in love, if love is not jealous, love is not boastful, love is not arrogant, love is not unbecoming, love is not selfish, love is not hostile, love is not lascivious, love is not malicious. So if love is not afraid, then that means that love is courageous. If love is not jealous, that means that love is content. Was it not the Apostle Paul that said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. If love is not boastful, then love is silent. If love is not arrogant, then love is humble. James chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. If love is not unbecoming, then love is appropriate and morally upstanding. If love is not selfish, then love is selfless. Didn't Jesus commit a selfless act when he hung, bled, and died on the tree of the cross? The worst punishment allowed under Roman law. And he hadn't committed a crime. He hadn't sinned. And the Bible says neither was there any guile found in his mouth. But he hung there in the presence of his mother and loved ones. And he bore the burdens of your sins and mine. He suffered and died for the sins of the world so that we could live and live more abundantly. If love is not hostile, then love is calm, cool, and collected. If love is not lascivious, then love is spiritual. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If love is not malicious, then love is respectful. If love is not weak, then love is strong. If love doesn't fail, that means love doesn't lose. That means love is a winner. And so for your consideration, we've talked about how to love, who to love, what love is not, what love is. What are the manifestations of love? Have you ever considered that love has manifestations? And when I talk about manifestations, a simple dictionary definition of manifestation, an event, action, or object that clearly shows or embodies something, especially a theory or an abstract idea. A sign that shows something clearly. Evidence. When we talk about the manifestations of love, we're talking about the evidence of love. You ever go to a medical doctor and you get a prescription or you get a regimen of treatment? What is the manifestation? What is the evidence that that prescription or that treatment is effective? Why don't you begin to feel better? When the doctor prescribed medicine or when the doctor give you a treatment regimen, the evidence, the manifestation that it's effective, that it's working, that it's taking place in your life is you begin to feel better. You begin to exercise a higher quality of life. You get to be how you were before the illness or the injury. Well, love has manifestations also. Love has evidence also. 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 through 17. And do you not realize if you read this text in 1 John chapter 4 in the King James Version, you see the word love in some form or another not less than 10 times? If you read 1 John chapter 4 in its entirety, you see the word love not less than 30 times. And so let's continue 1 John chapter 4 verses 11 and following. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So what are the manifestations of love? What is the evidence of love? In verse 11, the evidence is we love one another. In verse 12, God dwells in us. Verse 12, God is perfected in us. Verse 13, we dwell in God. Verse 13, God gives us of his Spirit. In verse 17, we'll be able to stand bold before God in the judgment, if love have truly manifested itself in our lives. That's the evidence of love. And so we talked about how to love, who to love, what love is not, what love is, the manifestations of love. And so shortly we're going to extend the invitation. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. We're going to ask you to come forward. Give me your hand. Give God your heart. Submit to God. Deny yourself. Deny your will. Submit to God's will, so that you might have hope of everlasting life in heaven. The Bible says in Mark chapter 12 and verse 29, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is here, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, for those that attended Bible study with us, you have the benefit of knowing that I had a tooth extracted last week. And perhaps I didn't project as loud as I would under different circumstances. But I certainly hope that you heard God's word today. And if you believe it, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And some translations say condemned. And when I was a young man, the old preacher used to say, a fair exchange is no robbery. If you heard God's word, you believe it, then you need to repent. Luke 13 and 3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you didn't get it that time, it said it again in verse 5. I tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is a change. Not a 360 degree circle, but a 180 degree turn. You change from serving God, from serving the devil, to serving God. That's repentance. That's a change of heart, a change of lifestyle. And if you confess, Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And once again, a fair exchange is no robbery. And then you need to be baptized. What did Peter say on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, not just some of you, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Water baptism, you'll be buried in the water and rise up just as Christ was buried in the grave and rose up. And then you need to live faithfully. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Christianity, serving God, is a lifelong commitment. It's not something that's based on the conveniences of popular culture and modern society. Many of society's inventions, which are good inventions, but they're designed to make things convenient, quick, easy, and convenient. Serving God was not intended to be convenient. Christianity is a lifelong commitment. And so it's not meant to be convenient. And that's why we assemble every Sunday, so we can get fed more, so we can edify one another, so we can build one another up. Because it's a lifelong endeavor. And that's why the Bible implores you to be faithful unto death. And God will reward you with the crown of life. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. The Bible says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The just shall live by faith. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. The Bible says that God is love. Do you love God? Do you believe that God loves you? I believe He does. God has blessed us. Food, shelter, clothing. God has blessed us beyond measure. I hope you've been informed. I hope you're in a better position now to make an informed choice concerning your salvation. God loves you. Please respond to the Savior's invitation.
Let's stand. They'll know we are Christians by our